fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. I want to talk today and this week about the glory and majesty of Jesus. One of the things that Paul says in the scripture, I've been meditating on 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he has a meditation there in the chapter on what he calls the old dispensation, that is the giving of the law that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And when Moses encountered God and the holiness of God and the mighty, he caught a glimpse of the glory and majesty, and that glory shined on his face. And he covered his face because people couldn't handle the glory that was shining on his face. And Paul's trying to make an analogy between what happened there with Moses. He said, here, that dispensation, the giving of the law, came with glory because it came from God. But that giving of the law is fading, and the new law, God's ultimate plan for salvation, the person of Jesus Christ, has been revealed. And it's a glory that shines upon the face of Jesus that all humanity is called to be able to see and to be able to behold and to see God's plan revealed in Christ in the new law that's in Jesus Christ. He said that's a glory that will never fade. And he makes a comparison between the two, and he calls his readers to behold Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of that section in chapter 3, he says this in verse 17, he said, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we are all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we're being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to the next. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Paul's revealing something right at the very heart of Christianity, right at the heart of what it means to become a disciple. And God's work of saving us, how does God save us? God saves us through his Son and the work of the Holy Spirit. The church often talks about, I remember taking some theology classes years ago, and they talked about the Trinitarian missions, that is the mission of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And at the heart of that mission is a revelation. God goes on mission, if you will. God the Father sends his Son, Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever would believe in him would not die but have everlasting life. And what the Father sent the Son to do is to reveal his plan of salvation for the whole world. And that plan of salvation we know is a person. And Jesus, who came, took on human flesh. He died on a cross. He shed his blood for us. But he was raised from the dead, and he was exalted to the right hand of the Father in glory. And Paul's central point here, what he's trying to say, is that God has brought salvation, not through the commandments, but through his Son. The commandments of the Old Testament, what Moses received, was essentially God's way of life for his people, how he wants us to live, how we're called, what we were made for, the way of life that we were literally created for, the pathway to walk in the footsteps of God, God's plan to be like God. But Paul makes clear that the law, which was meant for good, which in itself is good because it's from God, ends up condemning us. That law, which reveals, it gives us some light, a deeper understanding of God and God's purpose. It answers the questions, why are we here? What's my purpose in life? How should we live? What's a good life? The law reveals that. But Paul says the law, which was meant for good, ends up condemning us. What does that mean? Because it reveals how we're supposed to live. And ultimately, it's summed up in the two great commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul makes the point throughout his writing, as do the other apostles, that we all fall short of that. No one loves God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loves their neighbor as themselves, because our hearts are wounded by sin, by ego, pride, our fallen condition. We're tempted by the world of flesh and the devil, and we're battling in a regime in the world, a fallen world, that resists God and refuses to fulfill that commandment. And the flesh in us, that dimension of our own life, our own being, resists God's will as well. And together those powers connive and lead us and hold us in a kind of condition of slavery. Paul makes the point so clearly. He said, so the law reveals to us the true condition of each of our hearts, of your heart and mine, that we don't fulfill the law. And as a result, we're condemned by the law. And so we stand in a place of condemnation, unable to be able to see who we are in Christ and what God's called us to be until the revelation of God comes, and through the work of the Spirit, we're empowered to be able to grasp the glory and the majesty of Jesus. So Paul's description is so beautiful here. He said that when a man turns to God and turns to the Lord, the veil that covers his eyes that makes it impossible for us to see who God is, to really grasp the revelation of God, and in that, understanding who we are. Paul said that veil is only lifted when a person turns to the Lord. When we turn our hearts to God, we turn our hearts to the revelation and the words and the declaration, the proclamation of the truth about who Jesus is. And he said when that happens, the Spirit, who is the Lord, who brings us freedom. And he said our eyes are unveiled, our faces unveiled, we're able to see the glory and majesty that shines on the face of Jesus Christ. And he continues that. He said, this is from the Spirit. That's why at the heart of Christianity is about a new life in the Spirit. The work of salvation is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father sends his Son into the world to die for us. The Son, in obedience out of love to the Father, comes to literally rescue us from our state of alienation, the condition of sin that we're in, and he comes, and in his passion, death, and resurrection, through the shedding of his blood, he becomes a sacrifice for our sin in order to break the power of that sin over our lives and to cleanse us, to make it possible for us to be able to receive the Holy Spirit. The end game is for the fallen human race, we who have fallen from glory, the glory that we were made for because of sin and rebellion. Jesus comes as one of us, takes on human flesh, and begins to raise us to glory again, to raise us into the presence of God the Father, to make it possible for us to see where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. And he wants to cleanse us so that he can give us the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us here, who makes it possible for us to see the glory of the Lord. And in the process of seeing the glory of the Lord, it's a work of the Spirit. It's not something I can do on my own resources. It's a work of the Holy Spirit as we turn to the Lord. Our call is to turn to the Lord. What does it mean to turn to the Lord? Really, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to say yes to God. To say yes to the diagnosis of the Lord of each one of our lives, the need we have for God. Saying yes to the claim that he has on each and every one of us. To understand that we were made to be children of God. But we were, as Paul says very clearly, we're God's enemies because of sin. Jesus came to deal with that relationship problem, which leaves us in a condition of sin and leaves us destined for death, eternal death and separation from God. He comes to heal the human heart. He comes to literally give us a new heart. Scripture talks about it that way, and the new heart really is this Holy Spirit. Jesus made it possible for the Holy God to come and dwell within us. God saves us through the death of his Son, the shedding of his blood, which cleanses us and enables us, makes it possible for us to become a temple of the Holy Spirit. We become children of God when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism. We become adopted sons and daughters of God. We enter God's family. The life principle that enlivens the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the eternal life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God's divine life, the indestructible life of God, is given to us. That's how you become a son or daughter of God. That's why Jesus said, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven really is life with God. Those who are in heaven are living in the family of God, and each one of us are called to that. And what's at the heart, the starting point of it, is to be able to see through the grace of the Spirit, the help of the Holy Spirit, who opens our eyes so we can see what we've been blinded from. He tells us later in the next chapter, in chapter 4, Paul makes it clear that he said that it's the devil who veils our eyes. The one thing he doesn't want you to see, the one thing he doesn't want me to see, he'll describe here, is the light of the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus Christ. He said that knowledge comes from a revelation of God, by a work of God, by a work of the Holy Spirit, who moves in power when we declare and proclaim the fundamental truth that Jesus Christ is risen, that he's God's Son, that he's destroyed death and he's brought eternal life. And he now reigns in glory, and he reigns in human flesh, just like the flesh you have, I have. He came to become the father of a new race of people. He's come to sire a new race of people, put it that way, by the Spirit. To be Christian means to be brought from death to life, to come from the slavery to sin to the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. That's a work of God. That's a miracle. And it's too easy in these days when there's so much pressure from the culture and secularization and temptations, even within the church, to kind of accommodate the gospel, accommodate this glorious message and what Christ has accomplished to the culture, to be able to speak a message that the culture will accept. And what that ends up doing often is reducing Jesus to a prophet, to a revolutionary, to a great spiritual teacher, to, as one of the New Age gurus of our day say, he was one of the most enlightened people in human history. Everybody's willing to accept him as sort of a superhuman, a specially gifted and blessed human being. But they don't want to accept him as Lord and God and Savior and Son of God and Messiah. Because if that's the case, then everything he says, if he indeed is that person, he is the Son of God, the only Son of God and Savior of the world, that means he has authority over everyone. And what he says about reality is absolutely true. And so in order to distance ourselves from Jesus' claim on the human race, on each and every one of us, and the need for salvation, we keep him at arm's length, we reduce Jesus, we empty him of his significance. Cardinal Ratzinger wrote in a book called The Introduction to Christianity, he said, "Do we believe the creed which states that Jesus, the Christus, that is the anointed Son of God, the chosen one of God, that he is indeed God's only Son, his own Son, that the central and decisive point of all human history is Jesus?" He said, "It seems both presumptuous and foolish to assert one single figure who is bound to disappear farther and farther into the mists of the past is the authoritative center of all human history." That's Jesus. Jesus is the center of all human history. He's the Lord of all. Everything that is was made by him and for him. And the Lord of all has come to redeem and save us. And the heart of that is to bring us into the knowledge of what the Lord, the Father, has accomplished in Jesus' death and resurrection. What happened when that man died? Humanity was saved. I want to talk about that the rest of this week, about the glory and the majesty of Jesus and how the Holy Spirit is at work helping each one of us to come and see it, and how crucial it is for each one of us to be able to grasp that he's our Savior and he's come to lead each one of us personally to glory. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.